We greet you in the precious name of Jesus. He is the one that we live and move and have our being. It's because of him that there are those that take off of work a few days and go to New York City to share Jesus. I was very blessed, particularly what Brother Josh shared, that there's young people that would not give up easily and would walk along with a person. That's what you call soul winning. See, there's different levels of soul winning. We'll talk about that another time, but that's the highest level, and that's being an Apostle Paul. You know, King Agrippa, it said, almost thou persuadest me. Apostle Paul was trying to persuade him into the kingdom, and that's our calling, to endeavor to persuade people to choose Jesus. Many youth have graduated from high schools in the last few weeks. It would be hard to miss that events. They have them on road signs. There's a lot being said about the various commencements. I went to buy a Mother's Day card. There was a lot of graduation cards there you could choose. I was surprised how many there are. McCaskey High School had 690 graduates. It's a lot of young people. If you had the opportunity to stand before 690 graduates, what would you say, brother? How many would take the opportunity? That would be a tremendous opportunity, even if we're a little shy. But I've been thinking about that. That's what moved me to this message this morning, thinking about that. If I had a commencement speech, what would I say? There'd be some choices that would need to be made. A lot of those commencements touch on success because a graduation is successfully achieving schooling. Something to that effect is the definition. But now they're looking down the road and encouraging these young people for successful life, successful vocations. I've struggled with the title this morning. You may open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. My last title here is Success After Graduation. And you may say, well, we don't have any graduates here. Well, we might. I know of at least one that got his GED this year, and there may be some others. There may be some that got it last year. There may be some that just got out of school this past year, not going back. But I would like to think about success after graduation. And maybe it's to help us if you have an opportunity to talk to a graduate. What would you say? As I pondered that, it's very likely that one or a few of those 690 graduates from McCaskey High School in Lancaster were in this building. When Heart and Heart came here, that's been happening since about 15 years. It's very likely some of those children were here. Bless me to think about that. Well, we'd like to draw some lessons from Josiah this morning. Josiah was a good king. He was a king at a young age. He was 8 years old and was king for 31 years. Think about it, young people. What if you were a president? It's hard to imagine. A king at 18, and through his teen years and through his youth, he was He was a king. We'd like to read this chapter just to verse 7. 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on, and they were on high above them. He cut down, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images, he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. We like to pull a few truths from this story, not look at his entire 31 years. Think about young people this morning, give you some truths for success. I think each one of you desires that in your heart, and we're glad you're sitting in the front here. But it's just as those graduates at McCaskey High School, and there was quite a few of them this week. They sit there and they are looking down the road, and none of them wants to be a failure. They want to be successful. And young people, intermediates and juniors, that's what's in your heart. You look ahead and you're thinking of life and dreaming. Will everyone be of all those graduates? You know what tears my heart up is to think of those beautiful young people, and yet not all of them will make it. I would to God that they would all go to heaven. But most likely, there'll be those that go to hell. That's thinking big picture. 5 lessons. Success after graduation. First of all, seek God. Notice that in verse 3. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. That is so important, young people, to seek God. If you cannot do it now, it's not going to get any easier down the road to seek God. He was very wise. You know how old he was? I mean, his 8th year? He was 16 years old. And what he chose at 16 had a tremendous effect the rest of his reign. But he began to seek God, began to get serious about God and the things that pertain to God. That decision that he made in verse 3 is huge. And that affected everything else that he touched. Josiah was a young man that was seeking God. And I believe if you would have been an acquaintance of his, it would have shown. After visiting with him, being with him, you would have said, he's a young man that's seeking God. He was intent about it. Why seek God? Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. This is Moses' counsel to the Israelites before he died. There'd be a lot of things we could read here. But verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Seek God because your soul is most important. Young people, your soul is most important. Middle-aged, older ones, our souls are most important. The world does not emphasize that. But we need to be taking care of our soul because keep thy soul diligently. There's eternity for our soul. There's a destiny. It will not die like our body. The soul will go, and that's why we are to keep thy soul diligently. Josiah was a king that was taking that seriously. There are others that did not seek God. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. We know Solomon's son Rehoboam. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. He did not seek God. And the result was he was an evil king. He was a very evil king. Solomon's son. David's grandson. You know, it was his choice. And that finally comes to each of us, no matter how good an upbringing or even how bad an upbringing. We have a choice if we're going to seek God. It was his choice. And that choice, he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Because he made that choice, he was a very evil king. There'd be other verses we could look at that emphasize us seeking God, being people that love God and seek God. Luke chapter 11. Words of our Lord, Luke 11, 10 and 11. "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask him a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" The emphasis that we ask in verse 9. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's a choice. Isaiah 55, "Seek ye the Lord while he be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And that is a time of youth to seek the Lord is a part of the formula of success in the future. Youth, don't be so busy seeking your success that you're not seeking God. You know, that young man that said, "I really matter more than," he was pursuing himself and his own agenda than God. You know what he's setting himself up for? That is failure. He will fail. He's deceived in thinking that he plows ahead with his own agenda. He's going to succeed. But it's a sure formula for failure. You're without seeking God, there will be no real success. We need to remember that. Young people, particularly, you're busy along with the rest of us. But if we do not take time for God and seek God, we're setting ourselves up for failure. When really in our heart we want success. Let's think about that. How am I seeking God in my life? What are the practical things that I'm doing because I'm seeking God? I want God in my life. I want knowledge in my life. And we'll see some of that in this story, what happens when a person seeks God. Secondly, is we're thinking of success for the future, is choose godly heroes. Notice in verse 2 and verse 3, David is mentioned. I believe who our heroes are have a real influence on us. Who we're looking up to. A hero is someone that we admire. It's somebody that we idealize for courage. Maybe it's for some outstanding achievement or some noble quality. And we say, oh, that's someone I'm looking up to. And if I could be like that person, I would. They're my example. I believe the young King Josiah had an admiration for King David. You see, who he admired had a tremendous influence on the direction of who he was going to be and what kind of king he was going to be. You notice that we all have a choice to make, dependent on the choices of our parents. Notice his father in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, the chapter before, and verse 23. This describes Josiah's father, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Ammon trespassed more and more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Josiah's father was not a very good king. He was a very bad king. It says that he trespassed more and more. You notice how Josiah rose above that. And it's because he chose a godly hero. One reason. It was King David. And that's a question we can all ask ourselves this morning is, who's our hero? Young people, who's your hero? Who are your heroes? Who are you looking up to? It's one of the problems in our nation and our particularly our young people is they have the wrong heroes. The heroes are not godly people. There was two suicides, I think very recently. One was a fashion designer. She was found dead in a hotel room, I believe. She has designed thousands of handbags, and it has really ripped people apart that had her as their hero. There was also a cook that was a world-renowned chef, wrote books. He was found dead in a hotel room in France a few days ago. Again, people's heroes. Who's our hero? Who are we watching? Are our heroes someone like Dirk Williams that chose principle over his personal comfort and turned around and helped that pursuer out of the ice? Or is it some Eagles fan? Some sports fan? Or player, rather? Is our grandfather our hero? Or is it some entertainer? You see, there's a lot of ungodly people in the sports industry and the movie industry that have captured the hearts of young people, and it is contributing to their downfall. I believe we need to honestly think about that. Who are we looking up to, and are they really godly, a godly person? And Josiah had some decisions to make. We too have decisions to make. Thirdly, thinking about success for our future is take advice from your elders. An elder is someone of an earlier birth or greater age. Take advice from those that have more advanced time of life. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Let's see an example of someone that did not do this. We already referred to him, King Rehoboam. He was given some counsel from the older men in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel that were brought up with him that stood before him. And also in verse 13, and the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men. Solomon, so we think of Solomon being very wise, very, very intelligent. Yet it's very unfortunate that his son Rehoboam was not very wise in receiving advice from the older generation. Without a doubt, King Josiah had elders in his life. You have an 8-year-old as a king, there's some people around him that are making some decisions. And really what they were doing was grooming him. So I don't know how many men there was. I'm sure they had a plan of who influenced King Josiah in the right way. He had elders in his life. And I believe those elders were endeavoring to influence him toward godliness. But at any time, Josiah could have rebelled. He could have said, I don't agree with you all. I'm doing it my way. I will do what I want. He could have done that, like a lot of kings did. But he did not. Youth, this morning, you want to be successful in life. You don't want to be a failure. Nobody does. You will increase the possibility of success very much simply by accepting advice from your elders. Remember that. The story of Rehoboam's could be completely different if he had just simply humbled himself and took some advice. Fourthly, establish backbone. Notice that in verse chapter 2, that he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Someone has said that, and you may have heard this statement, that many a man in life has failed because his wishbone was where his backbone ought to be. And that can be a snare to any of us, but it can be particularly a snare to young people where, you know, we have a wish list and we wish this, and, you know, there's things that we wish were different back here, and there's wishes for the future. You know, I wish I had this job. I wish I had these friends. I wish I had more of this. And young people can go into that trap of having a good wishbone, but a poor backbone. King Josiah developed a strong backbone. And that's such an inspiration. You know, at 16, he began to seek the Lord and get serious about God. And at 20 years of age, he began to destroy the altars, and he was endeavoring to stamp out idolatry. Notice that it mentions that in his presence in verse 4. And again, this was 4 years later, after he was getting serious about seeking God. This is some of the fruit of that. He was not passive and say, you fellows just go out there and destroy those altars. He went along and he stood there and he watched. I find that interesting. But notice, those years, 16, 17, 18, 19, something was happening. He was developing some backbone. That's what was happening. He was developing some conviction. And as he would walk around, he'd see these things. And his convictions became stronger and stronger till he had to do something. And he made it happen. But it was that belief system that he developed from seeking God. We need that. We're in an age of casualness and passiveness and, well, there's got to be some way rather than taking a firm stand. We're living in a time of accommodation. There was a story, as I was thinking about backbone this morning, I remember a story of a doctor that was had an assistant. He was a surgeon, and he was testing her out, and it was a surgery, and she was there, and one of the jobs as an assistant is to make sure everything's accounted for, and there was a number of cushions or something that he put in this person, and she had counted, and they were short one, and now he argued with her, and she became emphatic and said, "No, he was going to close the person up," and she was not a pushover. She was emphatic that there's still one missing, and he was pleased. He said, "You pass." I think he had put one under his foot. So she had some backbone. I encourage young people that you seek God. Learn to know God. Develop a conscience against wrong. And love the right. And what happens is there's a backbone that gets developed, that you know where you stand, and you're not going to easily be moved. And that's what was happening to Josiah from those years of 16 to 20. He developed what he believed. And having those altars in his country, in his nation, was contrary to what he believed. And he went all out. He even got the bones of the priests, burned them on the altar, and that corrupted the altar. They needed to be destroyed. And it was all a result of his convictions. He had convictions. I just encourage us all, and particularly young people this morning, to develop convictions. You think about his convictions. His convictions started with worship. And that's fundamental this morning. If we don't have convictions on worship, it's going to be hard to have other convictions. That's one of the main things, convictions of worship. Of course, it's God made me. God loves me. I'm going to serve God. Convictions on worship. You see, we can deal with symptoms of a lack of conviction on worship, such as missing prayer meeting, or coming late to church. That's only a symptom of a lack of conviction on worship. And we can talk about those symptoms, but once we have a strong conviction about worship and the priority of worship. There's a lot of things that are no longer an issue. Fifthly, and lastly, success. God's sight matters most. Notice that in verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yeah, this past week, you think of an auditorium with 690 young people in. Sight mattered a lot. Sight matters a lot to young people. How you look, what people think. I'm glad that 17-year-olds don't need a face, graying hair, wrinkles, bald head. I'm glad you don't need to face that because you have enough that you're facing. It could be overwhelming to you because you care a lot what people think. And there's, you need to some, we need to. What do people see and think of me is huge. And it's very huge to young people. But let's take a lesson from Josiah. What did this youthful king, what was he thinking? He was thinking about God. And if we miss that, thinking about what God thinks and how God sees me, and then the other pressure is pretty overwhelming. But if we get that right, that, you know what? I'm first here to please God. I'm most concerned with what God thinks. I'm most concerned about what God sees in my life. It reduces the pressure tremendously. That's one answer to reducing a lot of social stress. Do what the youthful king Josiah did. And do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. It'll help a lot of our decisions we make, a lot of things in practical ways. It was this past week, I stopped in a muffler shop to get a stack for a tractor. Just found it interesting. There was two young fellows there. There was a red Mustang up on the lift. And there was somebody working on that red Mustang that a lot of you know. But these two young fellows were very, they were watching. They were pretty into this. One of the young fellows soon wanted to know what I had. And I said, this is from a tractor. So he soon didn't have a lot of interest. But this Mustang, he was two pipes and could tell it was supposed to be right, and the sound, it was interest for a different sound from this car, and had some cardboard in the back to get this thing positioned right. Was it because God's sight matters most, or what God hears matters most? I think we could take that too far. I think it is right to have things nice. But we need to remember that these things that we can care and stress about, it's going to all burn up. It's going to leave. That pretty red Mustang is not going to be around forever. But the souls of those two young men are going to go somewhere forever. And you see how that is remembering that God's sight matters most. It takes a lot of courage to think in that way, but it's going to direct your path. It's going to, young people, that will direct your path tremendously. If you continue to remember these five things, seek God, choose godly heroes, take advice from your elders, establish backbone, and God's sight matters most. My prayer is that each of the young people here would be successful. Most of all, that you would be successful with your soul. And your soul would enjoy success. Your spirit would go back to God that gave it, and you would have eternal residence in heaven. That's my desire. When I think of Lancaster County and the thousands of graduates, the thousands of young people that have such anticipation for the future, I wish them success with their soul so that they have eternal success. That's really what matters most, eternal success, and be with God throughout all the ages. May God help us to that end. Let's kneel for prayer.